You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. Dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. Dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is a faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it
ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city. We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
This message series is on I Have a Dream, and it's about dream, right? And I just kept, with everything that we've been through as a country and what we're seeing even today, you know, on the news and the way things are on the news and the division and the tension, you know, I don't know. I was just thinking about this, and I thought this relates to what we're talking about in terms of ourselves in dream, in this series of messages called Dream, because this morning it's about dreaming about a new community, a new community. And you know what's different about what we saw here in 1968 is I mean, what we see here in 1968, it's a lot different than what we're seeing on the news today. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Today, man, I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of that going on back then as well, but Martin Luther King brought forth a spirit of humility, but also promoted peace and promoted this idea of all of us coming together. I believe that this is what God wants. This is what God wants for us. God wants us to experience community in a deeper, more profound way. He wants us to experience unity. Right? And what we see is demonstrations and infighting and hate and riots and chaos. You're seeing that on the news, are we not? Are you guys seeing it? You guys seeing what I'm seeing? And I believe that God's calling us to dream and to think about something much bigger, much better, much more unifying than all of that. The goal in what I'm seeing is this influence. This is not, pardon what I say here, don't get upset, because this is not a political, I'm not trying to get political or anything like that, but what we're seeing and what we're experiencing, it's not just about statues and monuments. What we're seeing is an agenda that's driven by a demonic influence that's speaking to all different sects and all different types of people, trying to raise up division, trying to divide us by race, divide us by politics, divide us by economic status, divide us by age and by gender, and even by religion. And I believe God wants something more than that out of his creation, out of his people. The goal is to do this influence, with this demonic influence, the goal is to destroy community and propel isolation. God wants to isolate you from your neighbor. Do you know that? He wants to isolate you. He wants you angry. The goal is with this enemy, is to keep you in isolation. And there are people that are here this morning in first service. There's people that are going to be here in second service. There's people that are watching on Facebook live stream. There's people who are through the week are going to be listening on the podcast. And all of us, there's many of us that struggle with this idea of isolation, this idea of not being in community, because they've been hurt. People have been hurt. Many of you have been hurt. Hurt by others. And you've been hurt by what you see, and hurt and harmed by what you've experienced. And you know, the real difficult thing is not just outside of the church, but it's inside of the church. I meet with people regularly that come in here for the first time, or that attend, and they're very reticent. Because just this week, too, I experienced two new folks that I do not know that have their walls up because they have been crushed, beaten, and bruised by what they experienced within a community, within even a church community. Is there any wonder why some people would resist getting involved or becoming a part of a community? The enemy's plan is simple. He's trying to divide and he's trying to conquer. And if the enemy can do that with those of us Even within the nation, if he can divide and conquer, man, if he can divide, he can conquer. In the same way in the church, if he can divide, he can conquer. God wants something more than that out of us. And I believe, we're led this morning to talk about that, to talk about community, to talk about the importance of having community. And here's what we know. What we know is that those that are in isolation, and this is research. Researchers have found those in isolation are three times more likely to die than those with strong personal connections. Did you know that? John Ortberg says that with bad habits and strong social ties, lives significantly longer than people with good habits but isolated. Let me say that again. People with bad habits but strong social ties live longer, right, than people with good habits in isolation. So what that really means is this. It's better to eat Twinkies with good friends than to eat broccoli in isolation. Did you know that? That's the truth. And that's why yesterday morning, my little life group, we met at Tim Hortons and had a bunch of donuts, right? That was our justification for that. I'm just playing. But nonetheless, God's calling us. There's a reason why the enemy wants to divide us. And there's a reason why God wants to call us together. I believe that God wants us all to be in life, to experience life-giving connections. And you know, just as Martin Luther King had a dream, folks, Jesus had a dream. Did you know that? And a lot of times those dreams, you know, when you really want to know what someone's dream is, hear what they're talking about or hear what they're saying in their last days. You know what I'm talking about? On their deathbed, like their last wish. Hear what people want, or what you can hear what people want or what they're passionate about by what they say and what they're talking about in their last days. Jesus' last days, man, he shared with us this dream that he had. Jesus had a dream. And you know, right before Jesus died, Jesus shared with us, right before they took him and crucified, Jesus shared with the disciples what his dream was. And we see it in John chapter 17, 20 through 21. Look at this. Here's what it says. And this is Jesus. In Jesus' last wish, it's Jesus' last wish, it's his last words, it's his prayer to the Father. And this is what he prays. He says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. Who's he praying to? He's praying to God. He's saying, God, I'm praying that they would all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. Folks, Jesus is praying for believers throughout the centuries. He's not just praying for the disciples back then. He's praying for all of us even today. He had you in mind, Cody Tangeman. He had you in mind. Jesus is praying with you in mind right here because he wants you to be a part of community. He realizes how important it is for Cody's parents to get involved in community and community helping share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that their son can receive him. Folks, Jesus is praying with that level of desire. He wants all of us to be one with just as the Father, just as he is with the Father. He prays we will be one as he is one with the Father. Now, I've never looked at community through the lens of this before, right? But as I was studying this and looking through this, I want to share with you what I learned, what I came up with, because it's really profound. Jesus, in his last request, is asking God that we would all be one as he is one with the Father. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are all one. And Jesus is praying. He's saying, God, may they be one just as we are one. So what I wanted to do, and kind of the different take on this, is look at how the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. Because if we can look at how they are one, then we can learn how to be one. Does that make sense with you guys? Does that make sense? Y'all are here. Hello? Okay, good. Thank you so much. So here, let me move through this, right? Here's what I found. And the first thing is that they enjoy each other. Smile real big and look at your neighbor and say, I enjoy you. I see that. All right, good. Right? They enjoy each other, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they enjoy each other. In Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image. It says, to be like us, they will reign over the fish and the sea and the birds and the sky and the livestock and all the wild animals and on the earth and the small animals that scurry all along the ground. Look, they enjoy each other. They love each other. They're together and they admire what's going on, and they love being together. That's what God wants out of his community. What God wants a godly family to be like. Look at this. The second thing is they encourage each other. Matthew 3:17, it says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Think about that. God the Father is looking at Jesus and he says, this is my dearly beloved Son, and he brings me great joy. Man, that's encouraging to hear. They encourage each other. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they encourage one another. God wants us as a community to encourage each other, to build each other up, to help one another, to listen to each other, to edify each other. That's what community is. The third thing is this, is they support one another. John 14:25, it says, I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. Look, they support one another. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they come together as one, supporting and edifying one another. I believe that God wants us as a church to support each other. And truthfully, without you and your support, I cannot do the things that I do. Do you guys hear what I'm saying this morning? God wants you to have that kind of support out of the church. Look at four. They love one another. Mark 9:7. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly loved Son. Listen to him. Look, this is my dearly loved Son. The Father makes it very clear how he feels about Jesus. I think we should make it very clear how we feel towards one another. God is saying, Jesus is saying that he wants us to be like, to have the kind of relationship that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have, to love each other just as they love one another. The fifth thing is they defer to one another. John 14:10, it says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. What's really cool about this is that they're all the time giving each other credit. Do you hear what I'm saying? They're all the time lifting up one another and giving each other credit. God wants you to lift one another up and wants you to give each other the credit. That's the kind of community that God wants us to experience. And then lastly is the glory. They glorify one another. John 17:1. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. Man, isn't that powerful? That is powerful stuff. God is calling you and I to glorify, to give each other glory. You know, Cody sharing his testimony this morning, he gave glory to his Father. If we ask Todd how that made him feel, I'm sure that made Todd feel very proud about what his son had to say about, and Vicky, how Cody honored his parents this morning. That's the kind of thing that God wants all of us to experience, is to honor one another. Sometimes, you know, we make fun of each other and joke and crack, and you know what, I take full and utter responsibility for some of that. Not all of it. A good part of that is Chris's fault. I'm just teasing. That's not honoring Brother Chris, is it? But you know what? Truthfully, man, I could not be here without Chris and without what Chad and Brian Reinecke and Becca and everyone in this church does on a week-to-week basis. They do so much for all of us, do they not? That's the kind of honor and glory that God wants us to shed and to share with each other. And you know, we reach this big question. Why is it that God wants us to love one another and to be in community at that level? Why? Why would Jesus make it his last prayer? Why would he make it his last request? Folks, this is very, very important to Jesus. Why is it so important? Jesus had all of us in mind, and he did not want us to be alone. And he knew the one thing that would bring redemption through his death was the church. The church was this idea of this new community, this idea of community and what it means and what it can mean, and how this how a community and a church can be a conduit for God's grace, God's love, God's redemption to a hurting, dying, empty, lost world. Jesus knew that the hope would flow through, the hope of a God, the hope of ever coming to know God would flow through a body of believers, a community. That's why it was so important. I pray that they will all be one, Jesus says, just as you and I are one. Just as you and I are one. In John 17, 20 and 21. Father, and I am in you, and may be in, and that we may be in, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. See, he knew we represent him. Did you know that this morning? What we do as a church and as a community, we represent Jesus. We represent the gospel. We represent this idea of salvation, the love of God. And there, when there is disunity and infighting and a lack of tolerance for one another, their testimony to the world is unconvincing. When people observe the community of believers, they know that it represents Jesus. Jesus knew that a unified, loving community convinces a world to believe. God help us. Do you realize how this morning, do you realize the weight? Do you feel the weight of that? The weight of what we do as a church? The weight of all of that? That's a powerful, it's a heavy, heavy responsibility that we have as a church. The credibility of the gospel is left with how we treat one another. Right on? It's almost as if Jesus is saying here that there are unbelievers out there just waiting to believe. The question is when will they see us relating in this irresistible way? So without being in community, how can we live up to what Jesus is asking us to do? How can we do that? That's a great question, Ryan. It's a great question. How do we do that? Do we try harder? Do we try to like each other more? Do we try to let down those walls and trust one another? I don't know if it's in all that. I think what it's in is this. It's in Jesus' prayer. Because in his prayer, he says this to us. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. May they, we are they, folks. You hear what I'm saying this morning? We are they. May they be in us. And here's what I want to get across this morning. Is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we within this new community, the community that Jesus dreamed about, through him being in us, we find a profound sense of spiritual intimacy. Meaning when the prayer that Jesus is praying, may they be in us, may Ryan Riddell be so into this Jesus thing, into this God thing. May Ryan be so into this that he experiences this transforming power of love and grace and compassion and patience and hope. That he overlooks offense. That he overlooks where he's been hurt. That he overlooks how in the past he has been incredibly disappointed by spiritual leaders or by pastors that he has sat under. That Ryan would be so into this Jesus thing that he would be transformed and made new. And that the love of God would be experienced in his life, that his thoughts and then his trust and his hope would be totally, totally turned to a place where he can open up his heart to others and he can be one with them in serving in this thing that God dreamed of, and that is a new community. You know, the idea of you guys coming in here on a first service is a sacrifice in many ways, because there's more people who come at 11. But the idea of us growing small in a really big way is so that people have a better opportunity to experience community, where people have a better opportunity to connect. This connection is so vitally important. It's not just important for you, but it's important for people that are coming in that need you to know their name. So the end result, this is the end result. And here, because of this, thousands were looking on and thousands were saved. Look at Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. Here's what it says. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Man, that's powerful stuff. Do you see the end result? These people lived and walked what Jesus' dream was. These people, it was about being together. It was about fellowship. It was about a love for one another. And as the world outside of them looked on, they were drawn to this love. And as they were drawn to this love, thousands of people were being saved. Some of us would say, oh, Ryan, it's not about the number. Well, you know what? It is about the number. Cody was a number. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Cody's a number. There's 60,000, not just numbers, driving by here every day that are hurting, dying, empty, lost, with no community and no connection and isolation, that I believe God wants us to reach. Right on? Right on. And the only way that we're going to reach them is not standing on the street corners holding up billboard signs and dressing up like monkeys saying Jesus saves. Right? It's not about, you know, bringing big lights and doing all kinds of crazy things and stand, you know, whatever they do, you know, you see these kind of whatever sign stuff going on. It's not about that. It's about a love that comes into our hearts and lives, transforms us, makes a difference within us. And then we begin to share that difference with one another. And this building, this brick and mortar building, cannot contain what God wants to do. And it begins to pour out the pores of this building and reach into these cars and these folks that are driving by. They can't. Look, people can't ignore the love that God wants us to have for one another. The hurting, dying, empty, lost people can't ignore that. And when you begin to tap into that level of intimacy with God and that level of connection with one another, God does something. People are turned on by that. So let's all stand. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, in all of my limitations this morning, I pray, God, that you, Lord, would do what you promised me a long time ago. That you would take these words that were shared this morning, these words that you gave me, and that you will craft them and that you will plant them in the hearts and minds of those that are here, and that you would do something with them so that we can experience community. Not in a casual way, but in a deeper way, in a more profound way. So, Lord, that we experience what you want us to experience. And we take that experience and we share that with other folks. Other folks see it. They're turned on by it. And they then are drawn to you. And we see you at work. Lord, that's what we pray. We pray for revival. We pray for renewal. And Lord, we are dreaming of a new community. God, we are dreaming what you dreamed. This new community. Your last words, your last thoughts was about us and about us coming together as one. Lord, I thank you for each person that's here this morning, for how they come early. And I pray you will bless them for what they've done in terms of opening up more chairs and more opportunity for a second service for people to come in. I pray there would not be any thought of sacrifice or any thought of anyone missing anything, but what you create within this community becomes fresh and new and alive. And I pray you would raise up leaders within this first service, God, to connect in deeper, more intimate ways, to bring those that are here in into fellowship in ways they never thought could happen. And Lord, this morning, I just ask that if there are folks here and that where they don't know each other's names, that before they leave here, they will learn two names of people that they could strike a friendship with. And that ultimately we love one another like you love, like you have loved the Father and the Father loves you. So Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys. Have a great week, okay?
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.